Welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 151 for June 29th, 2008. Coming up in a few minutes.
Blending is a skill and an art that is very much a part of the Scotch whiskey industry. Even people's single malts, which they love, if they're not drinking a single cask, single malt, they're drinking a single malt that was more than likely blended by someone at that company from different types of casks of different ages to create a uniform product from bottling to bottling.
That's John Glazer, and he'll tell us about the two new limited release whiskies coming soon from Compass Box. More with John later, but first, let's look at the news. The big news this week focused on the future of Springbank Distillery in Campbellton, with rumors of the distillery being closed or mothballed for a number of reasons. Finally, the official word came on Friday from Springbank. Unstable costs for raw materials are forcing the owners of Springbank and nearby Glengyle Distillery to cut back on production of new make spirit until prices settle down. There will be some jobs cut, but J&A Mitchell, the family-controlled owners of Springbank and Glengyle, will also spend the downtime doing maintenance work on the distilleries and upgrading warehouse capacity. Just to put some things in perspective, futures contracts for barley are up 41% so far this year, and natural gas costs have nearly doubled. Those are the two main raw materials that distilleries need. Combine that with the rising cost of casks, and you wind up with a difficult situation. Remember, distillers have to invest in raw materials today to produce whiskey that won't go on sale for years. Back to Springbank for a second. There's no word on whether this fall's whiskey school classes will be affected. If you heard the last episode with Springbank graduate Lawrence Graham, I mentioned the distillery has a full slate of classes scheduled for September and October. I'll keep you posted as I find out more details. I've mentioned the celebrations at Bushmills this year as the distillery marks 400 years of legal distilling in the village of Bushmills. Now, Diageo is investing another $3 million in the distillery. The existing 9 stills will be refurbished, and a new 10th still is being added. The old Bushmills distillery is running 7 days a week, and Diageo hopes to double output to 1 million cases a year within the next 5 years. Back in episode 148, we talked about Japan's Nikka distillery. Now comes word that Nikka is adding another export market, and unfortunately, it's not the U.S. Japan Today reports Nikka will begin exporting whiskey to Russia starting in July, starting with about 2,000 cases this year. Nikka plans to boost sales to 10,000 cases a year in Russia by 2010. It sells about 12,000 cases a year in all of Europe. The UK is considering new proposals to cut down on alcohol abuse, and there's a question over whether one of those proposals might mean an end to free drams at the end of distillery tours. The BBC reports industry officials are afraid that restrictions on their promotional activities could force them to stop offering the drams. However, the Scottish government says that won't be the case. While minimum prices for alcohol and a 21-year-old age limit are being considered, the government doesn't want to do anything to affect the tourism industry. Time now for the calendar of events brought to you by Laphroaig. The Astor Center in New York City holds a class on pairing scotches with cheese on July 11th. The annual Classic Malts Cruise leaves Oban on July 12th, with stops in Skye and Islay. August is a quiet month so far, but the Whiskey Guild presents a Whiskey on the Hudson River cruise September 10th in New York City. The Kentucky Bourbon Festival is September 16th through the 21st in Bardstown, Kentucky. And Whiskey Live Paris is September 21st. You'll find a complete calendar of events at the WhiskeyCast website. And it's brought to you by Laphroaig Quarter Cask. Become a friend of Laphroaig and claim your own square foot of Islay at laphroaig.com. Earlier this spring, I mentioned that Compass Box was about to release two limited editions of its classic Peat Munster and Hedonism whiskeys. I had the chance to sit down for dinner with John Glazer this week and get the details, starting with the Peat Munster.
We are coming up on the fifth birthday of the creation of Peat Monster, which we originally did for Park Avenue Liquor Shop here in New York. At their request, it proved so successful at the time that we decided, let's share this with the rest of the world. So we launched it globally shortly after that, and it's become our most successful whiskey. So we thought we ought to celebrate the fifth birthday. So we've done this fifth birthday anniversary release of Peat Monster, what I call Peat Monster Reserve.
And what's it like?
It is peatier, smokier, richer, bigger, that is to say higher in strength, than our classic bottling. And it is available only in magnums, 5,300 bottles for the world.
Wow. And the new hedonism, because that's sort of been the unusual whiskey that you do.
Yeah, hedonism is, it's we've become, I think, somewhat well known for our belief in great grain whiskey, great Scotch grain whiskey. That was our first whiskey that I released when I started the business, hedonism. I've always wanted to do an even older version of a grain whiskey bottling. Hedonism is average age around 20. It's mostly over 20 and up to 29 these days, with a bit of 12 and 15 added for balance. But I've always wanted to do something considerably older, because there are some gorgeous casks of 30-year-old, 40-year-old grain whiskey that we've been able to get our hands on over the years. And that's what Hedonism Maximus is. And we call it Hedonism Maximus. It is a bottling of very old Scotch grain whiskey in the same sort of style as our classic hedonism, but again, deeper, richer, even sweeter. I originally did a bottling for our importer in Paris, La Maison de Whiskey, last year, 2007, of this, and a very small batch. It was very well received, very successful, so we decided, again, let's do it for the rest of the world, and that's what we're launching this year.
And while we're talking about grain whiskey and the regulatory scheme, let's turn to that for a second. If one reads the current proposal that's up before DEFRA right now in the UK, it would almost seem that anything that's not done in a pot still would have to be called grain whiskey now, including stuff that's made in coffee stills and other continuous stills. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I know that's been talked about quite a bit in the last several weeks. I'll tell you, I'm not sure. I think that, you know, malt whiskey or barley has been run through continuous stills for well over 100 years, and probably back to the beginning, the development of the first continuous stills. So I think there's a strong argument to be made that you should be able to call something made from malted barley, made in Scotland, made in a traditional still in Scotland, malt whiskey. Not everybody shares that opinion. I think the debate is still going on, and it remains to be seen how it resolves itself.
As is the blended malt debate, which I know you've been very vocal about.
We have. We've been trying to help do the right thing for the industry on the blended malt whiskey definitions situation. I do believe that there are better alternatives than blended malt Scotch whiskey, and I know thousands of people around the world agree with us. But we're trying to do the right thing for the industry, trying to work with the industry on it. And again, you know, that proposal sits with DEFRA, which is a UK government organization which prepares legislation for Parliament. And we'll see this later this summer, what they say about it.
What other issues are you worried about right now? Because as an independent bottler and blender, are you having trouble starting to source casks now from the various distilleries you work with? Because we're starting to see almost a global shortage of whiskey.
Well, I wouldn't say that we're seeing a global shortage of whiskey. So I haven't heard of many even people saying, I can't buy whiskey anymore. There's plenty of whiskey out there. But
Global shortage is good whiskey.
Global shortage of good whiskey. Well, you know, we had a whiskey, there was too much whiskey 10 years ago, and going further back, a whiskey lock, if you will. And it was a boon, actually, for whiskey drinkers, in that all these many independent bottlers and some of the distillers themselves were releasing these gorgeous old casks that had just been laying about. Well, those days are mostly gone, at least for the time being, as demand grows around the world. We are in a very fortunate position. We have very good relationships with the industry and contracts, and so, you know, we don't have a problem, but we are one of the lucky ones.
What other challenges are you seeing right now?
Well, for us personally at Compass Box, it's teaching people about the merits of blending. It's teaching people that blending is a skill and an art that is very much a part of the Scotch whisky industry. Even people's single malts, which they love, if they're not drinking a single cask, single malt, they're drinking a single malt that was more than likely blended by someone at that company from different types of casks of different ages to create a uniform product from bottling to bottling. So blending has always been very much a part of making all great Scotch whisky. And, you know, we're here in a restaurant tonight where the wine list proudly boasts a section called The Art of Blending, and it features all these wines that have been made from a blend of different grapes and vineyards. Well, why? The wine industry celebrates blending, and what we try to do at Compass Box is teach people a similar respect for blending. It's a challenge and an uphill battle around the world, but, you know, it will take time and we'll eventually do it.
And that's a perfect segue into this September, because I know you're coming back to New York to teach at the Astor Center on that class on how to blend your own Scotch whiskey.
We are, yeah, that'll be fun. That's in September at Astor in New York, and we're going to do our what we call our blending school, where we teach people the Compass Box approach and philosophy to blending whiskeys, and let people blend their own whiskey and take a little bottle home with them at the end of the night.
And then something they can theoretically recreate at home.
Theoretically.
There's a link for more details on John's whiskey blending class at the WhiskeyCast website. Back to the coffee still issue for a second, though. The owners of Loch Lomond Distillers are upset because the same legislative proposal that would set categories for Scotch whiskey labeling also sets out for the first time limits on production methods. It would limit single malt scotches, and any malt whiskey for that matter, to being made with pot stills, and anything made in a coffee still or other continuous still in Scotland would have to be labeled as grain whiskey. While previous whiskey laws have never specified the type of still that has to be used for malt whiskey, the Scotch Whiskey Association's Campbell Evans told the Scotsman that continuous stills are not part of traditional Scotch whiskey distilling practices. I'll keep you posted on the debate. That's all for this episode of WhiskeyCast. My email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com, and I'd love to hear from you. You'll find links, the calendar of events, the WhiskeyCast store, and a complete archive of past episodes at the WhiskeyCast website. The address is www.whiskeycast.com. WhiskeyCast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2008, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening. Thank you.